Thank you. Welcome to worship. All you who are present in person this morning, welcome. And especially to Alice Croker, who is joining us as our guest preacher today, welcome. And all you who are joining us online, either as we meet or later in your homes or churches or wherever, welcome to worship. Together, we form the community of Christ in this place. And we worship together, focusing on joy on this third Sunday of Advent. We acknowledge country. The Ancient of Days breathed life into this land and her peoples. From time beyond our reckoning, the Kaurna people have blessed this place through their law and customs, their care and concern. We pay our respects to their elders and leaders, past, present and future, and we pray for the future of their communities and those of the First Nations people wherever this service is shared. May we walk gently and respectfully on this land. Our call to worship. The blossoming of jacarandas and the hopping of quokkas tell of rejoicing. Creation breaks forth in joy. Desert sands ripple, and vast expanses of ocean cast waves onto shore. Creation dances in joy. In places of flood and in places of drought, we ask that again creation may flow with joy. We are called to worship God with rejoicing. Strengthen our weak hands and make firm our feeble knees, as we read in Isaiah 35. Let us sing and dance before our God. And now we'll stand and sing. If you're able, and we'll sing together, but dancing is optional. Sing to God with joy and gladness. Desire for food and water are the strongest appetites we have as human beings. We all thirst for something: to feel loved, to experience happiness and joy, to find meaning and significance. in life. Water floats us to the surface. Water is the lake producing hydroelectric power. Water is the thin ice on which we skate. Help us to walk on water, to see the potential in life, to want to make the world a better place.
Help us to live a life of justice, flowing like torrents of water, a life of righteous actions, like a stream that never dries up.
As we pour the water for our Advent wreath, we remember our deep thirst for God's joy. We long for your joy, O God. Joy which soaks into us and makes our world stand still, like a sudden summer downpour.
We long for your joy, O God.
Joy which makes our soul dance like kids under the sprinkler on the lawn.
We long for your joy, O God.
Joy which becomes the centre of our life with others, like the water boiling in the kettle, for a cuppa with friends.
We long for your joy, O God.
The third candle of Advent reminds us that we are called to live as people of joy. We light this candle, recalling moments of laughter, great beauty, and deep faith. Let us pray. God of justice, regardless of what happens in our lives or in our world, may we reflect the warmth and wonder of this flame. May our church a place of joy and life in our community. Amen. Advent God, we worship you with joy. And now we'll sing together, remaining seated, our Advent song, the Breathe song, with the joy words added.
Breathe the words of the Spirit of God. Breathe. I've brought with me a book on joy called Joy by Corinne Averis. Fern loved Nana. She loved her butterfly cakes, her mantelpiece mice, and her cat Snowball. Most of all, she loved her smile. But recently, Nana had stopped baking cakes. The mice were dusty, and Snowball was more like a ball of fuzz. Worst of all, Nana hardly ever smiled. "What's wrong with Nana?" Fern asked her mum. "I don't know," Mum replied. "It's like the joy has gone out of her life." "What's joy?" asked Fern. "Joy is what makes your heart happy and your eyes twinkle. Like when we all do dancing after dinner, or when I get the giggles with Ernie, or when I go whooshing down a slide." "Yes, a lovely big whoosh," said Mum. Nana deserved some whoosh, thought Fern. And if the joy had gone out of Nana's life, then she would bring it back. But where would Fern find it, and how would she carry it to Nana? She searched the house for a catching kit, a tin, a paper bag, a saucepan, a box with no lid, a lid with no box, a fishing net, and a pointy stick. Into Fern's catching bag it all went. That afternoon, Fern and her mum set off for the park. There would be plenty of joy there. No one would mind if she borrowed some for Nana. A puppy bounded towards Fern, its floppy ears flying up and down. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Fern giggled. She felt the whoosh of joy. She tried to catch the bounce, but the bounce wouldn't go in the box. On the swing, a baby chuckled each time her daddy tickled her feet. Tickle, tickle, chuckle, chuckle. Fern chuckled too. She felt the whoosh of joy. She tried to catch the chuckles, then she tried to catch the tickles, but neither the chuckles nor the tickles would go in the tin. When Fern reached the duck pond, a shimmer of sun sparkled, rippled across the water. Fern smiled. She felt the whoosh of joy. Nana would love this, she thought. She tried to catch the sparkles, first with her fishing net, then with her paper bag, and finally with a scoop from her saucepan. But the sparkles just disappeared. Finding joy was easy, but catching it was hard. Fern walked home with heavy feet. She loved Nana and wanted to bring joy back into her life, but her catching bag was empty. Nana was snoozing in her chair. Fern laid her head on her arm. "What's the matter?" asked Nana. "I wanted to catch some joy for you, but couldn't," said Fern sadly. Fern told Nana about all the things she had seen. To Fern's surprise, Nana smiled. It was the biggest, widest whoosh of a smile Fern had ever seen. "You don't need a tin or a box or a net to bring me joy," Nana said. "You bring me all the joy in the world just by being you." The next day, Fern took Nana to the park. Whoosh! Together, they found joy in the most unusual places. And this time, Fern's catching bag was full to the brim with Nana's delicious butterfly cakes.
Reading from Isaiah. Joy of the redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to us, to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. And then will the eye of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool of thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where the jackal once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And from Luke chapter 1, Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she explained, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfil his promise to her." And Mary's song. And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Emotions are an interesting thing. We might say we are red with rage, green with envy, or blue with sadness, using colours to try to describe how we are feeling, to try to put words to what we are feeling. Or we might speak of someone scared getting cold feet, of extreme disappointment leaving us heartbroken, or fear sending a shiver down our spine, using physical or body states to describe how we are feeling. Emotions are an interesting thing. We feel them in our body. When strolling through the park to meet with our sweetheart, we walk lightly with our hearts pounding with excitement. Or walking into a doctor's appointment to receive test results, we notice the muscles in our chest tighten and our hands sweat and tremble. Both classic and more recent models of how we experience and interpret emotions propose that emotions are felt in our body and the physiological sensations then trigger conscious emotional experiences. Or more simply, the physical sensation comes first, followed by the head interpretation. We first notice that our chest is tight, and we then interpret that that must mean we are feeling anxious and put the label of anxious on it. In 2013, scientific research was published looking at this idea. They ran a series of experiments using a total of just over 700 participants to create body maps of what 13 different emotions look like, of how those emotions are felt throughout the body. They found that each emotion had a unique pattern of how it was felt in the body, supporting the theories that how we physically experience emotion in our body impacts how we interpret the emotion. I find that interesting, the importance of feeling an emotion in our body, that emotions are a body thing, an embodied thing, before they are a conscious head thing. Why am I sharing this? A few reasons. There can be a lot of emotion associated with this time of year. Each of the four Sundays in Advent, we think about hope, peace, joy, and love, this week being joy. And all this emotion is in preparation and anticipation of Jesus becoming flesh and blood and moving into the neighbourhood, to paraphrase John 1 from the Message translation. About God taking on a physical body in Jesus. Jesus, who would then feel emotion in his body. I was also struck by something in our first reading from Isaiah 35. I wonder whether any of you picked up on the vivid bodily imagery. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. But before that, Isaiah 35 opens with the rejoicing of creation. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Michael J. Chan writes that the text actually begins with the non-human creation. For Isaiah 35, salvation is imagined in creational terms. The general theme is that desolate, dry places will be transformed into paradise. But Isaiah's poem moves far beyond the natural consequences of water on the desert. Creation itself will be glad, rejoice, and sing. Creation's praise joins human praise in recognition of God's marvellous work. From there, the text shifts to humans, with what Chan calls both a task and a sermon, and we have the abundance of bodily imagery, an encouragement to strengthen, steady, and speak to those who are struggling, and a promise, your God will come, your God will come to save you. The text then speaks of creation being healed, Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And the promise of a pathway for people, a way forward, that they will be met with singing, gladness and joy. But that bodily imagery, that's what stood out to me most in the reading. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. That God cares about our bodies and how they feel and how they function. But that in itself also presents us with a challenge. How do we hear these promises if we hear ourselves in this list? If we wish these promises might be fulfilled now? Noel Leo Erskine writes, "The good news at Advent is that God has not taken off on a retreat, but that the God who cares for the dry and barren places cares for each and all of us. God shows up even in the desert and barren places of life to await us in renewal, restoration and salvation. And part of the gift in Christmas is that Jesus is with us in our struggles. He knows what feeble hands, knees that give way and a fearful heart all feel like." The text finishes with an interesting promise. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Paul Simpson Duke writes, "We are not surprised to hear that sorrow will vanish, but sighing, beyond sorrow, we sigh with weariness and regret. We sigh for beauty we cannot reach and for understanding beyond our grasp. We sigh in our aching desire for union and love and in our longing for what we do not even know how to name." I would argue that joy and sighing, though, are not mutually exclusive. Sighing does not need to have fled away before we can experience joy. I wonder what you would say the opposite of joy is. Theologian and writer Anne Robertson suggests that the opposite of joy isn't sadness, but fear. Brené Brown writes of joy as the good mood of the soul. She defines joy as an intense feeling of deep spiritual connection, pleasure, and appreciation. It is sudden, unexpected, short-lasting, and high intensity. It's characterized by a connection with others, or with God, nature, or the universe. Joy expands our thinking and attention, and fills us with a sense of freedom and abandon. She shares the insights of another researcher, Matthew Kwan Johnson, who says that while experiencing joy, we don't lose ourselves. We become more truly ourselves. He suggests that with joy, colours seem brighter, physical movements feel freer and easier, and smiling happens involuntarily. I wonder what joy feels like for you. When did you last feel joy? I like to think of how sometimes joy is like that glimmer of light that can break through grey clouds. For a moment, it's like the clouds disappear and your attention is completely focused on the light. Yes, the clouds come back. In fact, the clouds may well have never left. But for however briefly, You are completely absorbed by the light and present in the moment. Because that's the difference between joy and happiness. We may sometimes use them interchangeably, but they are different. Happiness can be defined as being stable, longer lasting, and lower intensity than joy. Joy is more internal, while happiness is more external and circumstantial. Joy can exist inside while the clouds are still there, whereas happiness is more like a clear, bright, sunny day. Which brings me to today's second reading about Mary and Elizabeth. Can you imagine it? Starting earlier in Luke 1, Elizabeth's husband Zechariah was greeted by an angel. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." Zechariah was in disbelief. "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Zechariah was left silent and unable to speak until his son, who we know as John the Baptist, was born. Then in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, an angel appeared to her sister Mary, telling her that she too would conceive and give birth to a son. After hearing this news, Mary heads off to stay with her sister. And when Mary greets Elizabeth, something remarkable happens. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy," Elizabeth exclaims. Can you imagine the swirls of emotion? Zechariah is unable to speak. He and Elizabeth are expecting a baby, something they never thought would happen, but that will take away their feelings of disgrace. Mary is expecting something she wasn't expecting, at least not yet. I imagine a huge mix of emotions: fear, shame, gladness, and joy. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy," Elizabeth said. Joy. In amongst everything else, joy. In amongst the grey clouds, for a moment, it's like the clouds disappear and their attention is completely focused on the light, on joy. Yes, I'm sure the clouds then come back. In fact, the clouds likely never left. All of those more challenging emotions and the circumstances, but for however briefly, they are completely absorbed by the light and present in the moment. The baby in my womb leaped for joy. Joy. I wonder what joy feels like for you. And when did you last feel joy? For me, I experienced joy at the sight of the sky changing colour at night. Experienced joy as I bounce a ball down my hallway for my cat to jump at and chase. I experienced joy at the sight of my hands covered in paint after I've been creating art. Whooshes of lightness and brightness that can break through the clouds, even in the middle of hard stuff. I shared earlier that the good news at Advent is that God has not taken off on a retreat, but that the God who cares for the dry and barren places cares for each and all of us. God shows up even in the desert and barren places of light to await us in renewal, restoration, and salvation. God shows up even in the desert and barren places of light. God shows up in the whooshes of lightness and brightness that can break through the clouds, even in the middle of hard stuff. God shows up in joy. And we will now sing, "Joyful, joyful, we adore you," And you are invited to stand if you are able.
Of notices. I refer you to the news sheet, which you will have received by email or by accessing it from the website or in hard copy in the foyer as you came in or on your way out. Lots of good news in there about events coming up in our community. And now, as part of our prayers for others, and as is our Advent custom, we will view together the video prepared by the Christmas Bowl group for today, Advent 3.
In Zimbabwe, Christian Care is working in the rural communities where the majority of people are very poor. They rely on agriculture against the harsh climatic conditions induced by climate change. The increase in food prices has gone beyond the reach of the majority of people. People can hardly afford food, sugar, cooking oil, rice, soap, and they have challenges in sending their children to school. Christian Care is helping farmers through training the farmers in conservation farming, and Christian Care is also helping people with disabilities by giving them turkeys and goats. You are helping us in Zimbabwe to work closely with the farmers so that they become food secure and they can better withstand the harsh economic conditions and climate conditions in the country. Thank you.
Our offering prayer. Preparing for Christmas, we plan for gift giving, and we may even be asked what we might like ourselves. We are challenged when we consider the cost of food for those who are hungry. Reminded of the work in Zimbabwe, we say, Jesu tawa pano, Jesus, we are here for you. Take what we offer. And may this sharing bring joy. Amen. And now, as we move to our prayers for others, it is a joy for me to find in today's prayers Tongan words and concepts, bringing back for me the joyous experience of 4 years in the 1980s, living and working on a small outer island there with my family. I invite you to listen for them and enjoy them with me. Let us pray. God, in whom we find our joy, we remember in prayer today the priority to set prisoners free and loose the captives and the oppressed, to hear the cries of those who are in the wilderness, to remember the poor in spirit and those who suffer pain or loss. May we expand the talanoa of your gathering, the conversation in community, to include those who are marginalised and those who feel beyond our easy reach. May we remember and enact your love for the poor and for us when we are distressed. As we focus on your entering the world afresh this Advent, bless those who find this time hardest. May your scattered flock be gathered, and we deaf helped to hear what we prefer to ignore, we blind to see, and we lame to dance. Offer atu, love outwards. May we be gifted with your love to share around. May we increase the joy in our community and lift the hearts of the depressed. May we strengthen our efforts to care for and restore your blessed creation, so we may rejoice with creation again. May we participate in the kingdom of God more fully, so its good news may be more apparent in the lives we live and the love we share. Amen. And now we'll stand if we're able and sing together, all of you who walked in darkness, to a tune we know well.
Oh,
as we go into this week, God shows up even in the desert and barren places of life. God shows up in the whooshes of lightness and brightness that can break through the clouds. Even in the middle of hard stuff, God shows up in joy. And may rejoicing continue in days ahead. May tears turn to laughter and mourning into dancing. May God, three in one and one in three, hold you and bless you in the family of joy, now and always. Amen.